From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns concludes a message entitled Peter's Vision, part of a series of studies in the book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection, Morning by Morning. This morning's text is found in 2 Kings chapter 25 and verse 30. And his allowance was a continual allowance given him of the king, a daily rate for every day, all the days of his life. Jehoiakim was not sent away from the king's palace with a store to last him for months, but his provision was given him as a daily pension. Herein he well pictures the happy position of all the Lord's people. A daily portion is all that a man really wants. We do not need tomorrow's supplies. That day has not yet dawned, and its wants are as yet unborn. The thirst which we may suffer in the month of June does not need to be quenched in February, for we do not feel it yet. If we have enough for each day as the days arrive, we shall never know want. Sufficient for the day is all that we can enjoy. We cannot eat or drink or wear more than the day's supply of food and raiment. The surplus gives us the care of storing it, and the anxiety of watching against a thief. One staff aids a traveler, but a bundle of staves is a heavy burden. Enough is not only as good as a feast, but is all that the veriest glutton can truly enjoy. This is all that we should expect. A craving for more than this is ungrateful. When our Father does not give us more, we should be content with his daily allowance. Jehoiakim's case is ours. We have a sure portion, a portion given us of the king, a gracious portion, and a perpetual portion. Here is surely ground for thankfulness. Beloved Christian, in matters of grace, you need a daily supply. You have no store of strength. Day by day must you seek help from above. It is a very sweet assurance that a daily portion is provided for you, in the Word, through the ministry. By meditation, in prayer, and waiting upon God, you shall receive renewed strength. In Jesus, all needful things are laid up for you. Then enjoy your continual allowance. Never go hungry while the daily bread of grace is on the table of mercy.
When I can read my title clear to mansions in the skies, I'll bid farewell to every fear and wipe my weeping eyes.
And wipe my weeping eyes.
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is focusing on verses 9 through 20 of chapter 10. The passage is the account of Peter's vision, during which God called him to take the gospel to Cornelius, the Roman centurion. As Peter obeyed the Lord's command to go to Cornelius, we see the gospel opened to the Gentile world, with no requirement to obey the Levitical and ceremonial law. In dealing with the passage, Dr. Cairns is using what Peter saw, heard, learned, and did to set forth God's pattern of belief and practice for his church. Now, to conclude this message called Peter's Vision, here is Dr. Cairns.
What Peter saw, what Peter heard. Just a word then about what Peter learned. Verse 28, again, he says, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company, or come unto one of another nation. Actually, the law didn't state that at all. That was Pharisaic tradition, which had been incorporated in the law, and by which even the Christians were bound. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Now, what Peter learned were striking lessons on the subject of the grace of God. I've already noted that the significance of the vision related in part to grace. Now, continuing that, Peter had to learn not to limit the grace of God. Verse 28, don't call any man common or unclean. Do not put any man or any company or any class of men beyond the reach of the gospel, and do not put them beyond the sphere of your labors. It is so easy for us to say, well, now we will try and reach those people because they may be more amenable to the gospel. They may be more open to the invitation, but let's leave those ones out. I come from a country that's divided greatly between Protestantism and Popery. And most Protestants never go near Roman Catholics, never try to win them. Now, we are the church of bigots. You've all heard that. Paisley's a bigot and every Free Presbyterian's a bigot. But let me tell you, when it comes to evangelizing among Roman Catholics, it was a Free Presbyterian who went into the most bitter IRA territory in Belfast and knocked every door until the IRA threw him out. They were Free Presbyterians who went from street to street with open-air gospel meetings in the densely Republic and Roman Catholic areas, trying to win children and their parents for Christ, and stayed at it until at the point of a gun they were put out by IRA thugs. Let me tell you, my friend, that we ought not to put any class of men off the track of the gospel. Peter is told, don't call any common or unclean. If God has cleansed them, if God has opened the door to them, then go to them. Oh, let's not limit the grace of God. Are there people in Greenville whom you would despair of ever winning? Are there people who, because of the color of their skin, you think would be beyond the gospel? Black men as well as white men need the gospel, and let's reach them for Christ. Are there people who, because of their social class, would seem to be beyond the gospel? Rich men and poor men alike, they need the gospel. Are there drunkards? Are there drug addicts? Are there streetwalkers? Are there people who are so beyond hope that we would give them up? My friend, the Lord is challenging this church today to put no man beyond the reach of the gospel and to get out there and to start laboring for Jesus Christ. My, let's get off the starting blocks today. Let's get God's people off their stools, because I think we've hardly reached the starting blocks, and let's really go after souls for Jesus Christ. That is what Peter was learning, not to limit the grace of God. And secondly, he learned of the sovereignty of God's grace. The animals were clean in this vision, even while Peter, as he looked at them, thought them to be unclean. Now remember that the animals speak of the souls of men. And I want you to notice this. It's something that Paul learned again in Acts 18 and verse 10. That God's work of grace preceded Peter. God had already worked in grace in the life of Cornelius before Peter ever got to him. God had claimed Cornelius as his own. He was one of his eternally chosen people, and Peter was only the messenger. Peter wasn't there to work up converts. God's sovereign grace has a people in this world to be saved, and they're going to be saved. Now, there are people who like to take the corollary of that. It's not the corollary at all, but they like to make it the corollary and say, therefore, there are people who, by the mere arbitrary decree of God, are damned. My friend Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher in London, had it right when he said, and I've kept quoting this, salvation is all of grace. The only reason I'm in Christ is God chose me and God called me and God saved me. If he had left me one iota to do, I would have been damned in hell long ago. He did it all. All to him I owe. But damnation is all of sin. There's not a man goes to hell but for sin. It's the only reason men are in hell. Sin, and God's judgment rightly falls on sin. But God had a people, and he's going to call them in. I want you to know that. He's going to call them in. I don't believe there'll be empty places in heaven. I don't believe there'll be vacancies at the tables at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I don't believe that there'll be stars missing from the diadem of Jesus Christ. Thank God, he is successful. We can go forward in the joy of the knowledge of sovereign grace. And then Peter had to learn of the power of the grace of God. Turn back with me, please, very quickly to Genesis chapter 9 and verse 27. And there you've got a lovely prophecy from Noah. And he says, God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell, that is, Japheth shall dwell in the tents of Shem. Now, Japheth is the forerunner of the Gentile nations, by and large. Of course, leaving out the Canaanite nations. Now, this Roman was a child of Japheth. Here we have a son of Japheth inhabiting the conquered tents of the children of Shem, and in those tents he himself is conquered by the grace of the God of Shem. Cornelius was born a heathen. Cornelius was a Roman. Cornelius was a soldier. Cornelius was a centurion. There was an old saying among the Latins that neither faith nor piety would ever be found in a centurion. So these were all barriers. Heathenism in his background. He was a Roman. He was a soldier. He was a centurion. As I pointed out last week, he was an officer in a very elite band in the Roman army. As I pointed out last week also, his name suggests that he was one of the aristocracy of Rome, joined to the famous Cornelian family in Rome. All barriers. But I want you to notice the grace of God recognizes no barriers. And the grace of God penetrated every barrier, swept every hindrance aside, and Peter had to learn the power of grace that can overcome and bring souls to Christ where it seems impossible. Let me tell you, I believe in a God who saves. I believe in a God who can save whomsoever he will. I can look at any man in the world and look at him and say, honestly, God can save him. I never forget the old caretaker of Dr. Paisley's old church in Ravenhill, in Belfast. A very interesting character. He's now with the Lord. Joe Black. Joe Black was a man with a broken life and a broken heart. And to overcome it, he gave himself to drink. He drank until raw whiskey, until he rotted his internal organs. And one night, stupid with drink, he tottered down the Ravenhill Road in Belfast, and he was going to the River Laggan, which runs just nearby. And he was going to end his life. He couldn't live anymore, couldn't face life. Drink had failed him, he couldn't do anymore. And as he came to a part of the Ravenhill Road, there's a great public park, and it has these iron railings. Dr. Paisley, as a young preacher, with all his young people out of the church, was having an open-air meeting. And as somebody was at the microphone, Dr. Paisley saw this man holding on to the railings, just holding on just so that he wouldn't hit the ground, crawling along, trying to get to the place of suicide. And the big man, as we call him, for he was a big, angular, slim fellow then, as strong as an ox, he went over and he lifted him bodily and staggered himself 200 or 300 yards down the road to his own church, set that man in the prayer room, went outside and prayed that hard that he prayed him stone cold sober. And Joe Black told me, he said, I never heard a man pray like that. He said, he scared the drink out of me. And that night Joe Black was saved. And for years afterwards, he lived to be an old man. He was the talk of that entire area. The grace of God can save. Can save. Oh, that we would learn the power of grace. And then he had to learn the fellowship of grace. Verse 15, the end of the verse, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And in verse 28, God showed him that what he cleansed, he was not to call common or unclean. Now, that was a hard thing for Peter to learn. In fact, he didn't learn it all at once, if you want to know the truth. He had to come to the place where he would not refuse fellowship or break fellowship with any Christian because of Levitical ceremonies or Jewish prejudices. You know, God's people can fragment on such little things. Now, I believe in separation. And I believe that God's people, doctrinally and ecclesiastically and personally, should be separate. But you know what worries me a lot, especially since I've come to America, is that people will leave churches over the stupidest little issues. They just come and go. If something rubs their feathers the wrong way, I think Dr. Paisley quoted Willie Nicholson when he was here, if I'm rubbing you up the wrong way, turn around. And that's the easiest thing. But people will they leave for nothing. They break fellowship with God's people for nothing. Peter's learning here. Do not refuse or break fellowship on the ground of prejudice. What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Now, Peter found it hard to learn. in Galatians 2, verses 11 and 12, when he came to Antioch a lot later. Paul had to withstand them for the feast for this very thing. It's hard to learn. You see, Peter had to bring his judgments and his practice into line with what God says. God says, I have cleansed, I have opened this door, I ordain this, then you live by that. What God has cleansed, don't you call common or unclean. Let me put that a little more widely. What the Lord has cleansed and sanctified, first of all, let me speak to you who are not saved. Don't you for a minute despise that. If you're despising the Word of God, if you're despising the offer of grace, if you're despising the opportunity to be saved, you're playing the fool. And then let me speak to you who are saved. When God cleanses a thing, when God lays a clean thing before you, don't you either call it unclean, or don't you neglect it. Don't you decline from the cleanness of the way that God places before you. This is a call for God's people to live in holiness. Of course, the other side of the coin is also true. When God declares a thing to be unclean, don't you call it clean, and don't you make excuses for it. When God puts his finger in something in your life and says that is sin, when God starts convicting you of something, when the Lord starts dealing with you about something, then, my friend, do not start to argue against God. Do not start to excuse the unclean. One preacher once said that although the Levitical distinction in meats is done away with, the message of the symbol still holds plain. And what he said was this: the Christian should watch over his heart as the Jew watches over his mouth. And let nothing that is unclean enter into it. Don't let anything that's unclean enter into it. There's an emphasis in verse 15 on cleansing. Salvation makes a man holy. Let me tell you that. You can't take one part of salvation and say, I have that, but I don't have the other. When God justifies, he sanctifies. When he imputes the righteousness of Christ, he implants a principle of holiness in the life. Salvation cleanses a man. And if you tell me that you're saved and you're as unclean as ever you were, you're fooling yourself. If you have a salvation that's not making you holy, then, my friend, it's not the salvation of God. If there's not turmoil in your conscience when you sin, if God does not convict you when you sin, then you have great cause for concern. For salvation makes a man holy. Peter was learning here very clearly that it's internal purity that counts, and internal purity will always lead to external conformity to the Word of God. So the Christian's fellowship should be in the ground of grace and of obedience. My time is gone. We have looked at three of the 4 points: what he saw, what he heard, what he learned. Final one's what he did. I can tell you what he did, and you can think it through and do it yourself. He immediately obeyed the Lord. Immediately obeyed the Lord. Wonder is the Lord speaking to you about something this morning? Wonder is the Lord putting his finger? Now, I can't see your heart. Man looks in the outward appearance, but the Lord looks in the heart. The Lord knows your heart this morning. Whether you're saved or a backslider or a Christian with some particular thing over which he's, or about which he's dealing with you, you know, my friend, instantaneous, immediate obedience is what the Lord's looking for. Peter obeyed immediately. And then he went, verse 34 to 43, and preached Christ. Just notice this, if you will. I was thrilled when I saw this. Verse 22. Cornelius was sent to Peter to hear words. To hear words of thee. Cornelius was not told to see miracles done by Peter. It wasn't a miracle he needed to see done. It was to hear the word. My friend, the great thing that we have got to be about today is the preaching of the word. Get the word out. Leave the rest to the Lord. And then finally, he braved the consequences of his obedience to God. Last week, we did look at the 11th chapter. I'm not going over it again today. There was opposition in the church because of what Peter did. My friend, when you obey the Lord, sometimes you'll get Christians' backs up. Now, if they're spiritual people, once they understand the will of God, they rejoice with you and they'll go with you. But I'm telling you quite honestly, when you obey the Lord, only the Lord knows what the consequences are going to be. Only He knows. May cost you everything. But the Lord says, you obey me and brave the consequences, and I'll see you through. Can you think of what would have happened if Peter and men like him had been too timid to obey the Lord? Not one of us would be here today. All men and women, let's obey God. Let's get out preaching Christ. And then let's brave the consequences. Let's put God to the test. Wasn't it William Carey who said, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Let's do it by the grace of God, and He will not fail.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening, and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.